Not the main meal, but a little top up for those in-between times. You are listening to the Nurtured Village podcast, The Snack.
Best listened to while you're preparing snacks, cleaning up after snacks, or simply just being a snack bitch.
Hello and welcome to The Snack, a saucy little serving of grown-up talk that's still pretty palatable. Every episode, we strike up a yarn about a parenting-related topic so that motherhood can feel that bit more seen and heard.
We would love to hear your experiences and thoughts over at the Nurtured Village podcast. And while you're at it, be sure to follow us on your podcast platform of choice so you never miss an episode. If you're feeling friendly, please leave us a review over on Apple Podcasts to encourage others to join our virtual village and take a seat at the snack stand.
I'm Caitlin Bywater, living in Gamilaroi country, and joining me is...
I am Emma Gray on Yuggera country. How are you?
I'm tired.
Tired. It's a lot, December, isn't it? It is a lot.
It's lots happening and like all this talk about getting ready for school and things. And I'm like, oh, there's so many emotions, but also just like get me on holidays. Get me there. Emma, this week I'm serving you up a delightful Metamucil smoothie.
Sounds putrid. Mm-hmm.
You're sure there's something that it is for people way older than you and you don't have to worry about that for a few years, except time flies and that few years is now. You know that once you embrace the smoothie, life will feel a whole lot more grown up and flowing, and it's just something that has to happen, so you got to pinch your nose and roll with it. This week's snack topic is pretending. I mean, you can pretend if you want. This one is preparing to send your kids to school or care.
It's a doozy. You're not really selling it with a Metamucil.
I mean, once you're pooing regularly, you're like, this was a godsend. It's probably like taking your vitamins. You're like, oh, I don't need to do that. And then you do it and you're like, oh, these old girls were onto something.
How are you feeling?
So with Colby going to big school, I'm in two minds. I know that it's going to be great for him. And he is going to love having all of his questions answered because he has a million of them. And Jude has now been out of care for like 6 months. So that's the longest he's ever been out of care. Mm-hmm. So I'm busting for him to start preschool next year because he just is so much better when he's around kids. Like he just thrives on being able to rough and tumble with other kids and play, and he loves talking to people. So I'm just, I'm really excited for Jude to go because it'll be so good for him. I'm excited for Colby to go, but I also know that it's going to be hard work the first few weeks because he's an emotional little thing. But also sad that it's like, that's the end of the baby phase for him.
So for those of you who don't know, I have like a 2.5-year-old, so I'm years off starting school, but Kate, is the whole lead up as big as what you expect it would be?
I think I'm just ignoring it. Yeah. I'm like downplaying it because I was like, what is the fuss? What is the fuss about this? Like, I don't understand. Like, they've been in care all this time. What is the difference between them going to daycare and them going to school? And I have to go and get his uniform this week. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. And I know that I'm going to get that ugly little sting in your throat and that burning nose when you're like, upset but don't know whether it's happy upset or sad upset, but you can't show because you're in a public setting and you can't be that mum that cries in the uniform shop. I don't think I've tried to just ignore it until we get to next year.
What do you think it actually is? Like, what is it? What is it about them putting on a uniform and looking like a kid going to school that is so emotive?
It's that baby phase is done. They're not toddlers. Yeah. They're no – and I feel like, you know, you still – preschoolers and toddlers, I'm like much of a muchus. They're all little chubby things that are pretty unco and still need you to open their popper. And then he puts a uniform on and, like, that's the next 13 years. Like, it's not – it's no longer like once you get to 6 months, once you get to 12 months, then they're a toddler and they're a toddler till they're two. There's no longer these, like, little milestones. It's like, well, now they're at school. And that's a huge thing from – 5 until they're like 17 or 18. Mm-hmm. And I think the biggest thing for me that I realized the other day, when they go to daycare, you get sent photos and you get a little rundown of their day. And if they're ever upset, they'll call you. And I'm not saying primary school just as like, see ya. But you don't get that same interaction. You don't get an educator meeting you at the end of the day and being like, they had a really good day today. This is what they had for lunch. Just check the app and you've got all the photos of what they did and their story. Like, if I'm going to find out about his day, it's going to have to come from him. And that's kind of like, it's so beyond my control. It's that. Yeah. That's what's sad is it. He's not going to be that little one that needs me all the time now. He's becoming independent and his own little self, which is beautiful. And I did not have the capacity to have another baby needing me. So I should be excited. Yeah. But it's just that shift.
Yeah, totally.
How did you go when you had to send the kids to daycare?
Well, Mabel's obviously like the first time that I'd ever been that long away from her, et cetera. So that was a really big transition. I think the first day, Lewis and I had the day off work and we like went out for lunch and had cocktails. And I was like, this is awesome. I don't even know what the big deal is. And then the second day, she was really upset because she knew what had happened. And she was like, oh no, like you did this to me yesterday. Why are we doing this again today? And the woman was literally prying her fingers off her and like ripping her away from me. And I walked out with this huge lump in my throat and the lady at the desk was like, are you going okay? And I was like, no, I'm not. Just like got in the car and just like bawled my eyes out. But I look back now and I'm like, really, like, what is the big deal? But it is a massive deal. It's like
when you're in the moment, of course it is.
Yeah, it's a huge deal. Arthur, on the other hand, like he was a lot younger, but I think second child, I was just kind of like, okay, like we've done this before and Mabel thrives in daycare. Yeah. I knew that he was going to thrive as well. So I was, pretty okay about, I was like, oh, my little boy going to daycare. But also I was like, okay, bye. Like I know that this is fine.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it, I find for me when I was thinking about how I was when the boys first started daycare, is it really like a huge factor is what is happening in your life at that stage. So when Colby went, I was so excited because I had thought I would be back at work at 6 months and we had an unexpected move and that didn't happen. So it was now like 12 months and I was like, okay, well, I thought I was going to be back at 6 months. So this is cool. And then we had had a shocking year and we were all but claiming bankruptcy and we had both gotten full-time work and we're like, great, cool. This is awesome. It's going to happen. And then by total fluke, I had managed to get 5 days of daycare in a community where it's impossible to get like two. So it was like, this is amazing. This is exciting. And he loved it because he had never really been around any other kids because we were so new to town. We didn't know anyone. So he was like, bull at a gate, see ya, didn't even wave goodbye. But with Banjo, I think with that whole like, he's probably the last, like once you hand them over, it's like that last first, that whole thing again.
Yeah, what comes up for me with this is Amanda Keller, who wrote, your son growing up will feel like the slowest breakup you've ever known. Have you ever listened to her say that?
No, if I listen to it now, I'm going to bawl.
You shouldn't. You shouldn't.
Just you saying that gave me goosebumps and I'm like, well, that's what I'm never going to listen to for another 18 years.
Don't listen to it. I listened to it. I didn't even have a boy when I listened to it and oh my gosh. I don't even want to say it because you're
start
crying.
No, do it, do it.
It's like you don't actually parent one person, you parent many, many different people who are all your child. There's the newborn, the baby, the toddler, the preschooler, the primary age kid, the preteen, the adolescent, the full-blown teen, the young adult, and then the adult. They all answer to the same name. They all call you mom, and you never ever notice the inflection point where one of those people turns into the next. You're definitely not going to send Colby to school after I read this. You never get to properly say goodbye to all those little people who grow up because you don't notice the growing or the changing. And she goes on to say, except for when Facebook sends you those bloody memories, reminders that invariably make you cry because it's like showing me the face of someone I can never see again.
They are killer.
Not in that way, not at that age. She says, it's all part of the gradual letting go that's necessary and good but leaves a mama's heart aching at the same time.
So true.
While we know they still love us, their lives no longer spin around their mother as their main axis. We're not the sun around which they spin, not anymore. It would be weird if it were. I know that logically.
That's definitely the, and that's what I'm thinking. That's the kind of point that I'd come to with Colby going to school is that he, you know, like you see, you notice the milestones when they're little. You're like, oh, they have a tooth. Oh, they're cruel. Like they're big things and you don't miss it. You don't go, oh, you've had a growth spurt. You know, they're getting chubby, so they're going to grow tall. Like everything has these little like mini milestones in the lead up to it. Whereas once they're at school, you blink and suddenly they've like gone up 3 shoe sizes and this like period of growth that's not as noticeable because they're, you know, it's not that they're away more, but just you're so busy. Yeah. And like, you know, this is when they start doing sport and music and all these other things. So I feel like it's just going to get busier and busier. And my worry is that we're not going to pause to notice those little things before realizing, holy shit, he's 10. And that's what gets me. And she's worded it so beautifully.
It's so beautiful. And when she's saying it, they videoed it as she was saying it live on radio, but she's bawling her eyes out. And like, I was sobbing when I was listening to it. It was just the way that she said it was just like a slow process of breaking up and of like saying goodbye. And there's so many firsts and so many goodbyes. I'm like, oh my God.
It's so true. Oh man. What concerns did you have when you sent the kids to care? Were there any things that you were worried about?
For me, it comes down to this, like sending your children out and they kind of have to work it out on their own and you don't get to solve everything for them all the time. Yeah. You know, it's trying to protect them from stuff, but at the end of the day, like, is it doing them any service by not letting them learn how to work it out on their own?
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest things for me. I'm seeing lots of, you know, little dance concerts and stuff at the moment, or, you know, things where kids are getting up on stage. Or I remember the first time Mabel swam by herself in a swimming class, and things where, you know, they may feel like they need to be brave or that need courage or they, you know, need to work it out themselves. I think that's where it really gets me. And I'm like, oh, you know, and I think that's what daycare was as well, is I'm not going to be that there to, you know, maybe she's really hungry, but can she communicate that type thing?
Yeah, that's a hard one. I was just worried that Jude was going to swear or hit someone. They were my big concerns.
Spoken by a true mum of three.
I think we were just so, like, when Colby first went to daycare, we were so desperate to find something, and so relieved to have found something that I didn't really have time to have those concerns. It was like, oh my God, I've got a job that starts in 2 weeks and I need to find care. So it's probably good. Like, it just kind of threw me in and I was like, okay, whatever, here you go.
Yeah.
So we were really lucky in that sense. My concern, I know that he's super shy, so shy. Once he warms up, he's okay. But the thing that's getting me is like, he's saying, I'm like, it's your last week of preschool. And he's like, oh, I don't want it to be. I was like, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mom, I'm not going to see these kids again. And I was like, oh, that must be so sad. I was like, we'll still see so-and-so at footy and this kid's going to your school, and, you know, this is why we do sport and swimming and those sorts of things. And you'll make new friends. And he's like, yeah, but what if no one likes me? And I'm like, oh. But that's hard. But I also am comfortable enough and have faith in the fact that it will be hard, but he does need to do it, and he will flourish once he figures it out and finds his groove, and have full faith in the teaching staff. That's probably the big one for me.
Yeah. Have you been finding that you've had to hype yourself up, or you've literally been just like closed off to the whole starting school thing?
I'm just worried about those first few weeks, because I know he's just going to be emotional, and I'm not the best at dealing with those emotions sometimes. I'm like, well, mate, it's got to happen. You've got to get on and deal with it. Whereas Gary's much more like, okay, let's play. Let's talk about this. But I just know that he's going to enjoy it once he finally surrenders. Like, he had his preschool graduation and was like, I don't want to sing. And I was like, okay, well, you don't have to sing loud, but all your friends are singing and you just be up there. I don't want to. I hate performing. I'm like, well, you're not my child. I know it's scary, but it's okay. You can be brave and scared and sad at the same time. We're just going to try. And if it's too much, that's okay. And so he sat up there and, like, chin to chest, looked at the floor, did not look up, hated every second of it. But he stayed there, and then he got down and I was like, was that bad? He goes, nah, can I have something to eat now? And I'm like, oh, see, you're so sure that you're not going to like it that you just can't open yourself up to liking it. And that's a lot for a five-year-old to wrap their head around, and I don't expect them to. I'm an adult and I still can't. But I know that I'm just like, it's almost like impending doom, like where he's going to have that fight next year and be like, I don't want to go. We're going to be like, you have to go. It's going to be really fun. So-and-so's here, so-and-so's there. And I just know that he's going to get to the point one day where he goes, oh, this is really fun here, and we get to play on the playground, and we get to do this, and we get to do that. So, yeah, but again, like, it's so busy at the moment, I don't really have time to stop and think about it. Whereas Jude, I'm like, please go to preschool. It has been a long time with you home. You are much better off around other kids. I keep saying.
He's such a long time with another baby as well.
And because he was so used to being in care as well, he was in care 3 days a week from like 11 months, and then all of a sudden he wasn't with lockdowns, and then there was a change to our daycare and he, you know, that wasn't an option anymore. So, yeah, he's gone from playing 3 days a week to just being with me, and you can see in his behaviour, like I definitely don't stimulate him the way that school did. But I'm like, bring on term one, day one. He's going to go. And I keep saying this year was my practice maternity leave because I had all three kids home. I was meant to just have one. So I'm like, next year's my year.
I think I'm totally off topic here, but I just feel so much guilt around being at home with the kids and what I can give them to what daycare gives them. And I know that's irrational, but like, is that just a common felt experience? Because the guilt with that is real.
I'm lucky that I don't feel the guilt, but I totally get what you mean. Like, I absolutely do not serve them the way that they are in school. Like, they have toys and they get to play outside, but I'm not stimulating them. I'm not, like, encourage them. I'll set things up and keep them alive and put on what they want. But, like, I'm still getting all these other things done. Like, they're occupied, playing, interacting until the next job needs to be done. It's not the same. And I'm sure some parents can. Like my sister will sit there. We'll go to her house and she's like set them up cookies to decorate and they've got this sensory play and that's her sensory play. She is a primary teacher. And she's like, we're going to do this and this. And I'm like, I could not. They can be out on the swing. Like I'm not. Yeah. I do not have it in me.
See, that's the mum I want to be. But I'm just not. No. And like, I'm like, who's folding the washing? Who's cleaning up breakfast? Yes. Who's like going to the shop and going to the post office and doing this thing? And then the kids are all whingy. And I'm like, I just can't. It's just not possible for me to like maintain a house and food and everything that comes with adulthood. And I just can't give you what daycare can give you.
And you are absolutely not alone. I think so many of us. I like that. And I know that they'll get the best version of me when I get time to do all those things on my own, I mean, and that's a whole other thing. That's unpaid work is still work. Just because I'm not treating patients doesn't mean that everything that I'm doing here at home isn't work, but I have to do that work with the kids around. Yeah, I would love to. I think there would be more value in like mothering and daycare and those sorts of things once we valued the work that mothers do. Also, can we just make, firstly, educators get better pay because they are saints. I would not want to deal with 30 other people's children. I don't even want to deal with three of my children a lot of the time. I don't know how they do it.
Literally, I drop them off to daycare and they say, have a great day. And I think it's going to be better than
good
yours.
Luck.
It's like, oh my gosh.
I do. They,
it is chaos.
They are saints and I do not know how they do it. So they need to be paid more. But also, I wish it was easier for working mums to return to work because it is just shitty.
Totally. And that is just a gigantic conversation as well.
Yes.
What I want to finish on this topic is that I know each of you listening have spent years preparing your children for school. We do absolutely everything in our power, whatever is financially and humanly possible to give our children the best start in life. You should give yourself some credit for an incredible foundation that you've given your child to spread their wings with, a new reality, a new start. It's normal to be anxious about that.
So true.
Good luck. We can't wait to see the photos of Goldie.
Oh, my God. I know that I'm going to cry. If I'm preparing for myself that I'm going to cry, it'll be okay when it happens.
My other tip for those listening who haven't listened to our episode with Tam Bickersteth, listen to that as well because it's got some real gems in it. And listen now before you're already at school and it's too late to do all those little things. But, yeah, it's a goodie.
And I think so many of those tips will apply to people starting daycare as well, kids starting daycare in the new year. I think just because it's not formal learning, there's so much that you can do at home. And I think the other emphasis is that the best way that you can prepare your kids is just through doing things that you're already doing, but you haven't been shown how to understand the power that those little things have in day-to-day life and the foundations that they're laying for like genuine life skills.
Yeah.
You're doing more than you think.
I think that's what I loved with our episode with Tam. It wasn't complicated. It was really just simple things that we're already doing already that we don't really realize.
Yeah.
And it's more just about familiarity and, you know, making sure that children feel secure and familiar and not that they're just dumped in this unknown place, which, yeah, is just so simple. So I love that.
We need a pat on the back more often. If you're anything like me, the moment that you've dropped your kid off at school, you will be footing it for a hot cuppa. If you would like to buy us a hot coffee so that we can get through our school drop-offs, head to our Instagram at the Nurtured Village Podcast, head to the link in our bio, and you will find the Buy Me a Coffee tab there to keep our motors running.
That is it for this week's episode of The Snack. Don't forget to like us, follow us, and leave a review. Until next week, snack you later.
Got some more lollies?
Get out of here.
We have one.
Oh, God.
We have one going out.